And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The U.S. Department of Education is withholding about $6.8 billion in education funding for programs serving students that range from migrant education to English language instruction and gifted education. A Tuesday estimate from the Senate Congressional Appropriations Committee says that breaks down to nearly $48 million from Alaska. Lon Garrison is the executive director of the Association of Alaska School Boards. He says that's about 15% of federal funding the state receives for education. Garrison says the funding loss builds on an overall lack of education funding in Alaska.
It continues to compound itself. We're losing federal funds to help do the things that we want to get done, and then the state itself is not funding education adequately. So we continue to be kind of hit from all sides where the funding keeps getting rolled back for public education.
The money also goes towards programs including academic enrichment like STEM and college counseling, before and after school programs, and teacher training teachers. Garrison says the funding is vital to help students that need additional support.
The whole reason for this is we want to make sure students have every opportunity to get a great education, and that great education needs to be responsive to what those students need.
And a spokesperson for the State Department of Education and Early Development confirmed in an email that the federal department withheld funds as a part of a broader review process, but could not specify the amount of funding blocked from each program or how individual Alaska school districts would be affected. A Juneau man who is currently homeless has been missing for nearly 2 weeks. The Juneau Police Department is investigating his whereabouts, but his family says they need more help to find him. KTOO's Clarice Larson reports.
It's been nearly 2 weeks since 42-year-old Juneau resident Benjamin Benny Stepitin was last seen by his family in downtown Juneau. His brother, Martin Stepitin Sr., a former school board member, says he last spoke to him over the phone on June 17th.
And I really hope that wasn't the last phone call I had with him.
On Thursday morning, Martin and his other brother sip coffee in his apartment as they prepare to take a skiff out on Gatineau Channel to look for their missing brother. A candle next to a missing persons poster of Benjamin burns nearby.
It's been about 11 days now, which is hard to say. It still feels like it's the first day. But, yeah, it's been about 11 days now, and that's way unusual. That's not normal at all.
Benjamin is Alaska native, about 5 feet and 6 inches tall, and has brown eyes. He's well known in the downtown area and has been homeless for roughly 2 years. Martin says Benjamin became homeless again after 2 years of sobriety. On June 30th, the Juneau Police Department shared a Facebook post that asked the public to help locate him. Department spokesperson Aaron Kalwara said a detective has been assigned to investigate the case, and police are working to track down any leads. Benjamin is listed on the Alaska Bureau of Investigation's Missing Persons Clearinghouse page, and a missing and murdered Indigenous persons investigator with the state's Department of Public Safety is assisting in the search. Martin says his family and more than a dozen volunteers have spent multiple days looking for Benjamin all across town and had 500 missing person posters printed to put up around town. So far, they've only heard rumors.
We're going off a bunch of hearsay, but it doesn't matter what we hear, how crazy or ridiculous it sounds. We've been following up every single tip.
Benjamin's disappearance coincides with another missing persons case in Juneau this week. Search and rescue responders are also actively searching for a cruise ship passenger in Juneau who has not been seen since leaving for a hike Tuesday morning. She was still missing as of Thursday afternoon. Martin says he's grateful that JPD has assigned a detective to the case, but he still thinks there aren't enough resources in Juneau to ensure that the search for his brother is getting enough help. His family worries that they may now be searching for his remains.
I don't want this to happen to anybody ever, but if it does, I hope that they have a better way of getting through it than we did, because we're kind of on our own.
Martin says he also thinks the stigma and association with homelessness means this search is not being taken as seriously as others.
My brother Benny, he's got 2 kids and he's got 3 siblings. He's a good man. He's a good guy, happy person. Benny the fisherman, really good basketball player, and he's missing.
Police and family encourage anyone with information about Benjamin's whereabouts to contact the department. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
And earlier this week, a man arrested for the 2022 murder of a Juneau woman was released from prison in Wasilla. In early June, a judge dismissed charges against Anthony Michael Migliaccio based on a lack of evidence. On Monday, Juneau's district attorney, Whitney Bostick, decided not to refile charges. She says as part of a statement that, quote, the state no longer believes it can prove a case beyond a reasonable doubt, unquote. The Department of Law said the decision was based on new information, but declined to say what that new information was or elaborate beyond the initial statement. Migliaccio was arrested 2 months after Faith Rogers was found dead on a popular Juneau hiking trail in September of 2022. He was indicted on charges of murder and manslaughter. Since his release on Monday, some Juneau residents have questioned this outcome. They've been posting their frustrations and fears online. A Reddit post contains a video allegedly posted by Migliaccio talking about planning to get away with murder. And on Facebook, commenters say they aren't sure if it's safe to walk trails alone in Juneau. A spokesperson for the Alaska Department of Corrections says Migliaccio declined transport back to Juneau and was released to a pretrial facility in Palmer with no supervision. But Migliaccio maintains his innocence. His attorney, Nico Ambrose, issued a statement Thursday saying police arrested the wrong person. He argues that public pressure to make an arrest led to this outcome. And he says the police cut corners. Ambrose doesn't know why the state stopped pursuing the case, but he offered a few speculations in the emailed statement. He says there was a lack of physical evidence. Police found no blood or DNA from Rogers on Migliaccio when they contacted him wearing the same clothes hours after her death. Ambrose said police also lost possible evidence obtained via a search warrant for Rogers' phone backups, but police say the department reobtained the evidence. And he says police didn't investigate a conflict Rogers was having with family members. In an email, Juneau Deputy Police Chief Craig Campbell defended the department. He said JPD's investigation showed that Migliaccio was the sole suspect in the case after speaking with multiple people associated with Rogers and the investigation into her death. He said the investigation produced enough evidence for there to be probable cause that Migliaccio was a suspect in Rogers' murder. And he said police determined that Migliaccio was an active threat to the community at that time. Campbell said JPD stands by the investigation it conducted in 2022. He said Migliaccio remains the suspect in Rogers' murder, and the case currently has no active leads. But he said JPD will follow up if they get new information. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cremery. Juneau Animal Rescue has too many cats, according to Executive Director Rick Driscoll. He says JAR can comfortably house 40 cats, and the rescue is well over capacity.
We've got a lot of cats, and we need people to adopt them. And we're at capacity, which I hate that word, but it's catchy.
Many cats are being temporarily placed with fosters, but Driscoll says he's hoping people will adopt them. He says cats tend to give birth in the warmer months, and the rescue ends up trying to adopt out the many cats they end up with each summer. And there's been an overflow of cats each summer Driscoll has been at JAR. JAR is raising money for a new facility that would meet its needs. Until then, Driscoll says people can help prevent the influx of animals by sterilizing their pets.
It's a great opportunity to remind the community that, you know, spaying and neutering your pet is not only important to prevent overpopulation, but it also has a lot of medical benefits associated with it. So it's always a good idea.
JAR offers low-cost spay and neuter services for those who qualify. And 35 men who were detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement in the Lower 48 and held for weeks in Anchorage have now been transferred out of state, officials say. Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early has more.
Last month, the State Department of Corrections announced that it had taken in 40 men who were arrested and detained by ICE officials in the Lower 48 and housed them at the Anchorage Correctional Complex under a deal with the federal government. The move triggered backlash as immigration attorneys raised concerns about conditions in the Anchorage jail. Megan Barker is a spokeswoman for the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska, which sued the state last year over the conditions at the Anchorage Correctional Complex.
ACC and all DOC facilities have a long track record of not being able to keep people safe and alive in custody.
In a statement Monday, DOC spokeswoman Betsy Holly said the remaining 35 men held in the state were recently transferred back into the custody of the Federal Department of Homeland Security. She declined to say where the men were transferred to, citing security reasons. In an email, Holly said she didn't know why the men were transferred back, but said, quote, it was never intended that the detainees would be in Alaska for long term. Announcement of the transfer came 2 days after the ACLU of Alaska sent a letter to the state attorney general demanding that the state not hold ICE detainees at the Anchorage jail for more than 72 hours until conditions improve. In June, ACLU attorneys testified at a state House Judiciary Committee hearing that detainees were being held in, quote, punitive conditions, which they claimed violated ICE standards. At the same hearing, state DOC Commissioner Jen Winkleman acknowledged several, quote, bumps in the road in the detention process. Barker says that ACLU attorneys have been working to connect detainees with their legal representation and to make sure their rights weren't violated. They were alerted to the transfer after they tried to confirm pre-scheduled meetings with some of the detainees.
It's definitely jarring to know that those folks are no longer in Alaska, but also very disconcerting to not know where they are.
Even though the detainees have left the state, Barker says her organization remains worried that others will be held in the state before DOC facility conditions improve.
We kind of see this as an open door at this point for further action from those agencies, and we are definitely waiting to see what comes next, though we are deeply concerned that they're going to send more detainees up to Alaska DOC facilities.
Holly says there's currently one man in custody in the state who's been detained by ICE officials in Alaska. She says he was arrested before the group of 40 detainees were flown to Anchorage. Barker with the ACLU says her organization is aware the man is from Mexico, but didn't have any additional details on him. Regional ICE spokespeople did not immediately respond to questions Tuesday regarding the transfer, including where the men were sent and why they were transferred to Alaska in the first place. In at least one instance, a man arrested by ICE officials was in Anchorage was transferred out of state to an immigration facility in Tacoma, Washington. Reporting in Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
And as for the weather here today, it's 62 degrees and cloudy. And it looks like it'll be a little bit of rain tonight, 10% chance, with a low of 52 degrees. Tomorrow has a 20% chance of rain and a high of 63 degrees. Saturday could be sunny. You're listening to KTOO. For more news, go to ktoo.org.